It's a 25-event stop. Curtis Joseph is on a book tour, and he's joined us live in studio. It's called Cujo, The Untold Story of My Life on and Off the Ice. Good to see you, man. How are you?
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Well, what, I guess, brought you to decide to write a book?
Well, I met my wife 11 years ago, and she, you know how women are, they got things out of you, so she
was interviewing?
Yeah, she was interviewing, exactly. Good point. Anyway, she goes, I love your story. You need to write a book. I'm like, you know, is a book worthy? Anyway, eventually, you know, I would, in my retirement, I would do like keynote speeches to different groups, kids and junior players and families. And I would just tell a little bit about my childhood. It kind of evolved. It got a little more in depth. And people were lined up afterwards and go, hey, that's a great story. You need to write a book. And I'd be like, okay, you know, and or somebody would come up and go, I'm adopted too. Or I became a goalie because of you. So as you do that, you find like, wow, you can really reach people and you tell your story and it could have an impact on different people.
You have like former teammates or friends that are going, man, I never knew this about you.
Everybody, I wouldn't say it. It never came up. I kind of left that in the past. It wasn't something that I talked about. I was a little embarrassed of my childhood. So yes.
Was it hard then to come out as much as you did in this book?
Well, once you become comfortable, and it took me, it takes me a long time to make a decision like that, probably 10 years. Then I was comfortable with it, and I learned a lot along the way also from different people that knew me as a kid, outsiders looking in and seeing how your family dynamic was. So it was difficult for sure, but I learned a lot, and it was a great process.
So do you feel now good about what you've done in terms of coming out with this story and the amount of positive feedback you've been getting?
That's exactly it. The feedback on this tour has been tremendous, and people are – the best thing you can say is thank you for sharing your story. And like my youngest boy said, Luke, he was like, Dad, if you write, you should write a book. You know, if you help one kid, then you've done your job. So it's been a tremendous feedback so far.
Now, you had to go to Saskatchewan to get your career on the what, on track, right? Like you had to go all the way to Notre Dame to finally get this figured out?
That was the turning point in my life.
Faskers.
Seriously, it was the turning point in my life. A guy in my town paid for me to go. His kids went to Notre Dame, played football. He paid for a flight for me to go out there. I was at overage playing tier two hockey, not drafted in the NHL or OHL or anything. And I was just trying to get a scholarship. And lo and behold, the first exhibition game I played was in Minot, North Dakota. And I got a scholarship offer from the university. I was in tears. Like the first game I played, it was unbelievable. Then we went on a tremendous run. We went 53-5 or
How
something.
How stacked were you?
I didn't know. These guys were kids. I was the only guy who played junior hockey. They were taking their masks off their helmets, and I'm like, oh my, and they're pretending to fight. I'm like, oh my gosh, what have I gotten into? Anyway, but we were stacked. We had, you know, tremendous players on the team. Rod Brindamore, most notably, but guys like Scott Pellerin, Dwayne Norris, these guys are great hockey players. So we ended up, we were stacked.
Did you win it all?
We did. We won it all. It was the hardest to get out of the West.
Yeah.
Was the hardest. We played Calgary Canucks in a seven-game bang-em-up. What a series that was. It was tremendous. I remember game seven, the whole school of Notre Dame signed a petition that they'd go to school on Saturday, and they bussed to that game at Max Bell Arena, and we won 3-2, I think it was. They had a penalty shot with 3 seconds left. It was unbelievable.
They pulled you and put in the
That's not in the book.
You're not supposed to tell people that, right?
Come on, Al.
And now you don't like playing goalie.
Oh, no.
You come to the charity events. Yeah. You sign up to play on teams. Everyone drafts. Cujo, they got him. Hey, we got our goalie. Oh, no.
No, I'm playing forward.
I'm a goal scorer.
That's right. Well, there's a few things about that. So, you know, in the NHL, guys know where they're shooting the puck, you know?
Yeah.
So you're not going to get hurt. But in all fairness, you get guys who want to score on you so bad, they come down to the hash marks and they'll wind up. And I have no idea where this is going. So I'm not going down on my knees to make a save. So anyway, and it's a challenge for me. I never played out. So it's a challenge for me to play out. It's fun.
So what's the scouting report on Curtis Joseph, the scoring
speed.
Forward?
Speed. Yeah? From what I hear, it's all about speed. The stick handling, maybe not as, it needs some work, but the speed is amazing.
Right. I skate like I still have pads on. And on the defensive side, I'm always in a shooting lane, which is great.
Yeah. So I'm going through the career. Everyone knows awesome career in St. Louis, Edmonton, Toronto, quick stop in Detroit and kind of bounce around at the end there, yeah, as yeah. we all do.
Right.
Las Vegas. 12 games in Las Vegas in 95, 96.
Like, you want to hear that
how
story?
How did you end up there?
So Mike Keenan came into St. Louis as GM and coach, first time as a GM, and they had just won the Stanley Cup. So he was going to clean house and have his own team. And he started trading us all over the place, like right away. And so like Shanny to Hartford, yeah. Duchesne to Ottawa. And these are all, you know, kind of expansion teams. Anyway, traded myself and Mike Greer to Edmonton for the compensation package, which was for Shane Shane Corson, was 2 first-round picks. So me and Mike Greer went the other way. And Glenn Sather is a loyal guy, and he already had Billy Ranford. And so one of us was going to go to Boston, his buddy in Boston, and it took a half a year for him to decide to trade Billy to Boston. And so I went and played in Vegas for free.
Just to stay busy.
Just to stay busy and force his hand a little bit. I was so frustrated that I couldn't get a deal done. And so I was like, okay, you know what? Here's an asset that's going to be playing in the IHL. And didn't really force his hand. I was there for 2 months. I found out I wasn't a gambler.
What did you think of the Vegas last year? I mean, it was an amazing run for him.
Incredible. And what I tell people, non-hockey people, I have a lot of U.S. friends. I say, you know what? Hockey's the ultimate sport, and here's why. You can take, in basketball, this is my take, you can take the best player from the worst or the best team and put him on the worst team, and you can make a huge difference. But in hockey, if you get 30 guys that are relative castaways, so to speak, and they buy into a program, you can have the best team in the league. But you cannot, in hockey, you cannot take a Sidney Crosby from the best team, put him on the worst team, and have that team become the best team. It just doesn't work.
It's not the same, right?
No.
It's not basketball where LeBron can just carry the whole team for right. a whole year through the playoffs and do it. It's
yeah.
What are you learning, I guess, as you go to every stop on this book tour?
Canada's a big place. No, but the
well,
feedback.
Well, you're on a charter, though, right?
Oh, my gosh. So my wife said, what? We're not flying private? No, it's the feedback. And the best thing, like I said, people say is, thank you for sharing your story. And they mean it. And so when you hear that, you're like, okay, I've done some good.
So what... You say people come up to you, and obviously you have. What is the message that you're given there?
So it was the first. It's like two books in one. So the first part of the book tells about how I grew up, you know, in a mental hospital for 20 mental patients, and needless to say, I didn't have any kids over after school to play, and just being adopted, you know, not really having a home environment whatsoever. And then, so that's the first part of the book, and getting to where I did undrafted and, you know, overage junior, tier two junior player, playing single A hockey growing up. So there's a different way to do it. You don't have to play triple A all the time. You just need to play. And one of perseverance. Nobody ever told me I couldn't do it. Nobody ever told me I couldn't do it. I finally got a scholarship. And lo and behold, the next year I was in the NHL. So a very unlikely story. It was small, playing single A hockey, and then played for 19 years. So hopefully a story of inspiration.
Well, how old were you when you first put on skates? And what made you decide to eventually become a goaltender?
Well, I always say the position chose me. I was 10 years old. I hadn't skated. And so it was a cousin that had paid for house league hockey. And so I took his spot with 4 games left. And so I went out there, and I was devastated because I couldn't skate a lick. You know, I iced the puck. I turned in a circle. So they put me in net, and we ended up winning the championship. But in net, at that time, you could just go up and down, and I could have played in work boots, you know, probably. But anyway, I learned to skate after a few years. And and then it was too late to change. I wanted to be a goal scorer. I guess I'm selfish. But, you know, the position chose me.
Fifth all-time in wins. I mean, I'll be quite honest. Berkey was just on and mentioned that, and I'm like, pardon me, fifth? Are you obviously, when you look back on that, you're proud of it and this and that. Are you bitter? What's going on with the Hall of Fame?
It's a tough place to get into.
I guess so. I guess so. I have no hope, right? Like,
well,
he's not going to comment on that.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's a great honor, obviously, and I don't know exactly the criteria of, you know, I haven't won what a cup for sure, but did play for a long time, you know, I'm happy with my career. I think, you know, my peers were happy with me, my teammates were happy with me, and we'll see, you know, down the road.
Fingers crossed. Well, yeah, I think everybody's probably pulling for you. I mean, you got a bad name around here, but.
hey, I'm undefeated in, I was saying earlier, in Flames playoff history.
Well, Rhett was going to ask you about that.
That was such a weird thing. Like, obviously, you go in game seven in San Jose.
Yeah.
Kind of throwing in cold. Were you, did you know he was going to go to you?
So, well, earlier in the series, you know, we were down 3-0 after 3 minutes. I remember looking up and I see Mike and I'm going in there. I'm like, wow, I'm going to play a full game here. I've barely warmed up because Kipper takes a lot of warm up. Yeah. And so we ended up winning that game 4-3. And that was my first home game, I think, as a Flame, because I only came in halfway through the year. And so you make a save and the crowd welcomes you. You know, they give you, I never had that welcome, and they welcome you to the team. And I was like, oh, this is going to be good. Anyway, we came back. You know, sometimes a goalie change, you know, the team refocuses, readjusts. So we go and we win that game 4-3. And Kipper's clearly our number one goalie. I'm 40 years old. But there was a little debate, you know, whether I was going to play the next game or whatever. And, in that game seven, I think there was a goal. I think it was 2-1. It was a low score.
Yeah.
But Mike Keenan looks at me, and it's game seven, and he goes, "Curtis, get in there." And literally, I was like, "It's not the right time. Like, we're in this game. It's game seven."
Yeah, I think it was 2-0 or 2-1 when you went in. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm looking at him, and he said that, but then he calls a timeout, and he's talking to people. I'm standing on the bench, and there's glass between the benches. And Brian Boucher is a friend of mine. He's the backup for San Jose. And he's looking at me like this, like staring at me. He heard exactly what Mike said. And he's like, he's mouthing to me. Did he just say that?
You going?
And so I don't want to put my stuff on, because if I start to get up, Kipper's, and I don't go in.
Yeah.
Because he said it kind of like, he didn't come down and tap me and talk to me. So if I start to put my stuff on, I don't want Kipper to be like.
You don't want to send a message.
Send a message. Yeah, yeah. Like, Mike's not confident. You know, you're getting out of there. And so I go, Mike, you know, and then he goes, no, it's fine. And so I'm glad I didn't start to get dressed. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I did eventually come into the game. We were losing in game seven, and it was unfortunate because, you know, two evenly matched teams, but Boucher, so funny. And you got to know Bouch. He's such a funny human.
Well, he was here. I played with Boucher.
Yeah. And he was looking at me. He goes, "Did he just say that?" Anyway, I had a great time with, we had a great teammate, a great bunch of teammates, and it was good.
I guess as we wrap things up, tell us about how you got hooked up with Christy Day and kind of how that relationship got formed.
Yeah, so that was the thing. I didn't know who would tell my story. I didn't know if the story was good enough. You know, if I had enough, you know, everybody, we all play in the NHL. We got some great stories. Everybody has a story how they made it to the NHL. But so we were at Wayne Gretzky's Fantasy Camp in Vegas, and we had traveled and everything. And I go to that every year. It's the greatest event ever. And
people love that.
Yeah, it's so much fun. And we're in Vegas. We stay at the Bellagio. It's great. But anyway, Steph and Kirsty, my wife and Kirsty, and remember, Steph's the driving force behind this, had met. And so she's an author, and Steph's like, I go, "Steph, I got to go. We're in Vegas." She usually goes to bed and I stay out. So she goes, "I'm staying up," and I went to bed. And so they talk for hours and hours, and that's how it went. And when I met Kirsty, I was like, wow, you are the right person to. And so it was a year of writing, and we would sit there for 5 hours at a time. Kirsty would go, "No, we're not going to go any more than an hour. Let's meet 3 days this week." Okay. 5 hours later, every single time. So. it was great. It was a great process, and I got the right person to help me collaborate.
And what's going on tonight?
So tonight we are doing a book signing in at Indigo at Crowfoot. Yep. So we're going to do that at 7 o'clock, and some of my ex teammates are going to be there from Notre Dame Hounds. Looking forward to seeing them. So it seems like every stop on the tour, I see friends and or people that are in that city, and they come out and sit with you or talk. So it's a lot of fun.
We had a text come in and says, "Oh my God, that was my first year at Notre Dame. I was at the game in Calgary. I was on that bus. You missed the story about the stadium brawl in Wilcox."
Oh man, yeah, lots of stories, lots of stories for sure.
And then this one says, "Cujo, you played out at Gretzky's camp, and you're better than you're letting on." So I think you were maybe
a little more talented.
Maybe you are a goal scorer. Maybe you're a sniper.
I watched a lot of hockey from that crease, so I've seen a lot of good players. I know what to do. Just can't.
Daryl Sutter just texted me, said to say hi.
Oh, beautiful.
Good luck with the rest of the trip.
I love it. Thank you. Tell him thank you.
That's Cujo, the untold story of my life on and off the ice. He's going to be at Chapters in Crowfoot, 7 o'clock tonight. Go say hi to him. He's got a 25-stop tour, and of course, the book is available right now across bookstores and online. Cujo, thanks for coming, man.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. I had a lot of fun.
That's Curtis Joseph.